This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
From the Quicken Loan Studios in Houston, Texas. Quicken Loans. Take advantage of historic low rates. Go to Rocket Mortgage today. Here's your host, 6'1", former Oklahoma Sooner basketball player, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Alyssa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Well, I tell you what, it has been a very big week in the NBA as we're striding out. That's right, we are in the final stretch of the NBA regular season, and one of the intriguing games from this past week, on Wednesday night, in fact, was out of the Eastern Conference with the Cavs and the Celtics, and good news for Cleveland Cavalier fans, because they finally look like a team that can win the NBA Finals. Very impressive on the road against the Celtics, and always a true honor to have back with us from ESPN, longtime sports columnist, that is Bob Ryan. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening to you.
Well, we've got a number of topics that we're going to dive into, so let's start in the Eastern Conference and that highly anticipated matchup between the Cavs and the Celtics. It ended up being really no contest for the battle of the number one seed. What were your takeaways from that particular game? I mean, the Cavs, they look like a team that can win the NBA Finals again. It was a seismic change.
It could have been called on a mercy rule when they got up 29.
Yes.
And, they dominated from the very, very beginning. LeBron had his way, and after the game, Brad Stevens said they defended him very poorly. He said, I love the phrase he used. I'd never heard this one. We hugged the shooters too much, quote unquote, and let LeBron drive the lane at will. And I love that phrase. We hugged the shooters, but you pick your poison. If you're going to collapse on LeBron, they do have shooters, and that's why they traded for Kyle Korver. That's why you have J.R. Smith, and why you have Kevin Love, for that matter, and Irving too. They're all shooters. So this looked like the Cavaliers team that the people in Cleveland are used to looking at after a desultory period, mostly the second half of the year. Their defense is awful. They had the worst defensive efficiency in the entire league over a long stretch of time, and that cannot continue if they're going into the playoffs. So for them, it was a very heartening evening, and LeBron downplayed it before and afterwards said, we're not trying to impress anybody except ourselves, but that was an important game for them. As far as the Celtics are concerned, it showed them where they have to go, and it was kind of disheartening, I think. And in a series, you'd be able to regroup and lick your wounds and come back and make adjustments. And in a series, if you had a game like that, God knows I've seen enough playoff series that you can't overreact to a route one way or the other. So if I look at it that way, it doesn't mean the Celtics cannot play with them, but it certainly means they have to come and play a different kind of game than they played on Wednesday evening.
Okay, so we dissect that game. You talk about LeBron and all the shooters, but why do you think the Celtics came out just so flat?
I don't know that they laid an egg as was properly analyzed by Isaiah Thomas himself. Mm-hmm. They didn't play well. They just didn't. They didn't show up to borrow a vitalism. They weren't PTPers. They did not come up and weren't ready for prime time. And it was an embarrassment for them. It was a disappointment for their fans. After all, this was a battle for supremacy and number one seed. And now it looks highly unlikely the Celtics will get it. If they do wind up in a tie with Cleveland, Cleveland has the tiebreaker. And so they're going to have to find a way in the remaining days to overcome them. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the important thing is how they chose to respond to that game. And get the job done against the remaining teams on their schedule. But there's no doubt it was a disappointment for everyone concerned in Boston.
He's back with us from ESPN. That is Bob Ryan tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at podcastarena.com. You were just talking about the Celtics, but let's back up just a moment. Earlier when we were zeroing in on the Cavs, you talked about how much they have struggled defensively, and I would say so, especially after the All-Star break. Why have they underachieved, and what stood out from the game on Wednesday night against the Celtics in terms of defensively? What did they show you?
I just think their intent. I think they just were mailing it in. And I think that they didn't respect, worry about their position in the East. And I don't even think they were really worried if they finished second. I mean, because they would go into the playoffs knowing that they can win on the road because they're a championship team. They've proven that. But it just didn't perform. Just and they did have some injuries and all that. But I think Coach Lou would have to tell you that he could not get them to. Roll up those sleeves and go do the work. But I think that no matter what LeBron said about the relative unimportance of that game in the big scheme of things to them, I think the way they played demonstrated that they're ready to go back and start getting ready now that in the remaining games to play the kind of defense. I just don't think that they put out the effort over that period of time.
You know, Bob, I want to digress for just a moment. There has been, obviously, here in Houston, so much talk about Harden and Russell Westbrook, this MVP race. Where do you see LeBron right now in terms of his game? Quantify, and just help us understand where he is in this particular race.
Well, it's nothing has changed. The MVP race will certainly come down to Westbrook versus Harden. But if every coach in the league had his choice of a player around whom to build for the postseason, it wouldn't be neither Westbrook nor Harden. It would be LeBron James. He is still the best player in the world. And the best two-way player, the proven player now in the clutch, and it can help you win more ways than anybody. But Westbrook's having a historic season. We know that for 55 years since anyone's averaged a triple-double. Even though when Oscar did it, no one had a phrase for it. Nobody thought anything of it. It was just Oscar being Oscar in those days, and the phrase came much later. But Harden is going to probably lose out in the end with the closing push by Westbrook. If people look at it, the wrist thing has really hurt him. And, I don't understand his stubbornness and denying that it's a major factor and that he probably shouldn't even be playing. He should be icing that wrist 24 hours a day, it seems to me. That's just me. I'm not a doctor. But LeBron's the best player. And if anyone thinks otherwise, they're just mistaken. So that's that. He's not going to win the award because that's not the way it works as a rule. Michael Jordan lost out on awards because people thought it was time to give it to somebody else. And we've got viable candidates. These guys are very viable candidates, and they deserve to be recognized for what they've done, Westbrook and Harden. Just don't confuse the issue here. That they're not the best players. The best player is still LeBron.
Okay, so we'll talk some more about LeBron, but what do you think is the most impressive part of Russell Westbrook's triple-doubles? Because when I reflect on it, I mean, I'm thinking about just his rebounding. It blows your mind.
It is the rebounding, because he's 6 feet four, if that. And in a league where the rebounding, see, the difference between what he is doing and what Oscar did 55 years ago is quite simple. They both score at will. All right, fine. Assists were much harder to get in 1962, and rebounds were much easier to get in 1962 because the number one in assist that you didn't get, there was no such thing as a three pointer, so you didn't get that bogus assist, and they are bogus assists for three pointers. Secondly, even long jump shots were at the discretion of the official scorer, and you pretty much had to get a layup or a very short shot to get an assist. But rebounds were difficult, were easy to get, simply because, go do the math, people took more shots per game and missed more of them. Someone had to get the rebounds, and Oscar, being a 6'5 guard who was a rebounding man, got his share of the rebounds. Now, it's reversed. Assists are handed out like water. They're easy to get, relatively speaking, and because people take fewer shots, far fewer shots per game, and make a higher percentage of them, there are naturally fewer rebounds to get. And for a guard to get the percentage of rebounds that he gets is an amazing thing. And I think that that's where the achievement is most notable, is his rebound totals.
Okay, so between Harden and Westbrook, who is your favorite? And how does it factor in? Because, this is not golf. I mean, it's not just about an individual performance. We're talking team performance, and the Rockets have skyrocketed. I mean, they have just been sensational in the Western Conference this season.
Yes, and this is if James Harden had been given a wish list of, is there a coach on this earth that would be the best coach for me, to let me be me? He couldn't have done better than Mike D'Antoni. And I predicted, as did many before the season, that, we know our scoring champ. I assumed it was going to be Harden because he was going to play for a coach that worships offense. And here we go. So he's got the right coach. There's no right and no wrong. They're each incredibly worthy. They're both having tremendous seasons. Yes, the Rockets have a better record, which may speak more to the surrounding cast or not. You can't go wrong. But if I had to pick one, you put that proverbial, mythical 44 to my head, I'd go Westbrook, but only by the slightest of margins, and I wouldn't have any problem with anyone voting for Harden.
The NBA conversation continues with ESPN's Bob Ryan after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio. The Big E Sports Show. The countdown is on. The NBA playoffs just around the corner. We're going to continue our conversation from ESPN, and that is Bob Ryan. Always a healthy discussion with Bob Ryan from ESPN, longtime sports columnist, who is joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here in Houston. So I want to talk some more about the Cavs. I mean, are they clearly, in your mind, Bob, are they the best team in the Eastern Conference?
Yes. Yes. Simple three letters word, yes. I think Boston, Washington, and Toronto are very comparable teams. Any one of them, any one of the three is likely to be, will be the vanquished foe in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know which one it'll be, but one of those three teams. And they're all quite evil. If they played round robin forever, they'd probably come out even, three of them. I'm assuming now that Kyle Lowry will be healthy for Toronto and give them their full complement of players. And that Avery Bradley will be ready to go for Boston. They will have all their, if anybody has all their full complement of players, I don't know who's going to be emerge among those three. Mm-hmm. But clearly, Cleveland's still better. And that's that. Now, Tristan Thompson's come up with an injury, and I don't know how much that's going to factor into anything, or how much it'll sideline him. That's important. But I still think you have to clearly draw a line. Cleveland, draw a line, and then Boston, Toronto, Washington, in some order, draw a line, and then that's your gradation in the Eastern Conference.
Well, Boston, Toronto, and Washington, it really is remarkable, Bob, just how much the Eastern Conference has improved this year, and they have really sent a very strong statement across the league.
Yeah, they have improved, and so it's harder. It's a much better conference than it was to a couple of years ago. It's gotten better incrementally, and here they are, Washington with that backcourt, which can go out and get you 60 points in a given night. Mm-hmm. And Toronto's, frankly, with DeRozan and Lowry, Boston's Thomas having a fantastic season, and the growth of some of their young players, including the rookie Jaylen Brown, including mm-hmm. Marcus Smart, who's a very interesting asset on to any team. But there's a line of demarcation there, but certainly those three, any series featuring them will be enjoyable. They'll be good. Any pairing, Boston, Washington, Toronto, however it comes out, that'll be a really interesting and fun series.
Okay, so in your mind, in the Eastern Conference, the Cavs are at the top. Who right now, what team you think is the very best in the NBA? Obviously,
well, it's still
the Warriors.
It's going to be. I think we're heading for a rematch finals. San Antonio could get in the way and impede Golden State, but no. And I don't think this is the year that the Clippers are going to do it. And I don't think Houston. Everybody's agreeing that you don't want to play them. They're going to be an annoyance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they're going to drop 135 on you some night in the series, but that I think that Golden State can handle them, and I think San Antonio can handle them. But I mean, I would, you know, they have the outside puncher's chance of reaching the finals, but I do not think any way they could beat Golden State. I think Golden State's there to win or lose, frankly, and they seem to be playing. They're off on a nice streak, and now here comes Durant. And you could say to yourself, well, they're going to have to readjust to Durant, and they will, because they've found another way to play without him. But they're going to welcome him back, and I think, assuming, I don't know how he's going to be, we'll see. But if he's back and healthy enough the way he was, then they're going to be awful tough to beat.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, Bob, is, you know, you think about how successful they were without him. You know, I have to wonder how big of a challenge will that be. Here it is Friday night, but tomorrow night, I mean, what's that going to be like for KD to return?
Yeah, I know. It's not much time. I think in an ideal circumstance, they would have preferred maybe 8 or 10 games to get him back and get him back into so that everybody gets back in the same roles that they had and everything. But they don't have that luxury. So their luxury will be that the first round series will be a 1-8 series, which will be in effect will be a glorified exhibition for them and will give them a chance to ease him back in, I think. I'm just doing this off the top of my head, but I think uh-huh. that's probably how they're going to be able to do it. Once again, we have to see how he presents himself, what mm-hmm. he's got to offer, and how healthy he really is, and all that. But let's assume he is. Let's put it this way. They're going to be a lot happier having him than not having him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hey, our time is winding down. From ESPN, Bob Ryan joining us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Bob, while we did have you on the program, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Patrick Ewing being named the new head coach at Georgetown, the greatest player in the history of the program.
Well, it's interesting because it means that Georgetown will not cut the cord with Big John. And so this is acknowledging that Big John is still going to be a towering presence, like in that Woody Allen movie, which was a movie where the mother was hovering over the skyline in New York. Uh-huh. Remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Well, that's Big John hovering over Georgetown, and this is his surrogate son. He has two official sons and a third unofficial son, Patrick Ewing. I am very skeptical. Patrick Ewing has a couple of reasons. Number one, he has not coached in college. He has no experience in recruiting. He actually is on record as saying he thinks nothing's changed or very little has changed. The world has changed utterly and completely dramatically since he last had anything to do with college sports. He has to find ruthless recruiting young assistants to go out and get him the players, and he's probably going to have to get an X and O guy to help him on the bench. His job is going to be as a role figurehead, a symbol leader, and maybe he will be a fine leader for Georgetown and a front man for the corporation that is Georgetown basketball, that's apparently what they feel they need right now. Restore alumni support and all that stuff, because he certainly is inexperienced as a head coach. And the other thing is, you say to yourself, people say, "Well, Patrick has been an assistant in the NBA for all these years. He's ready. He's never gotten a full fair chance." Maybe there's a reason why nobody hired him after 15 years. Mm-hmm. So take that into consideration. I hope it works out. He's a fine person. It's a nice romantic notion, like Chris Mullin and St. John's. It has its bumps on the road, let's put it that way. So we'll see how it works out. But
Bob, are you saying that you think recruiting will be his biggest challenge?
Oh my God! Of course it is. You can't win without players, and he has no experience in this world.
Okay.
And it's all going to come down to the assistants getting him players. And that's what it's all about. And he's got, he'll be the closer, I suppose, and that's fine. But this is all about, this world has completely changed. It's all AAU dominated. When he played for Mike Jarvis at Cambridge, Ringe, and Latin. It was all about high schools. AAU barely existed, had no role, no factor. Mm-hmm. You lived a different life. It's all about AAU, which is a seedy, cutthroat underbelly of basketball that is a despicable thing that has infested basketball. But that's what it is, and they all have to live with it. And he's going to have to learn to live with it.
Okay, my final question for you is, give me your number one takeaway from the championship game on Monday night.
That it was a game unworthy of a championship game, that it was a sad conclusion to of any Final Four and a season, and that the referees failed to pass the Bob Ryan test,
the
one-word pass-fail test that you should have before every game at every level, from youth basketball to the NBA seventh game. Why am I here?
Uh-huh.
And the reason you're here is a one-word answer, and that is, I'm here to adjudicate the smooth flow of the game.
Yes.
I am not here to demonstrate that I have learned the rule book. See, referees, here's the problem with refereeing in college specifically. Referees often, very often, referee to pass the referee test, to impress the supervisor,
yep,
to get the next job. They are not refereeing the game in front of them. And they are refereeing a game that doesn't exist. And that's what we saw in the championship game on Monday night.
Absolutely. Too many fouls called. It was very, very choppy, and it did impact the play. Hey, Bob Ryan from ESPN, longtime sports columnist. We absolutely love him. Thank you so much for joining on this Friday night. Have a good weekend, Bob, okay?
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Much more coming your way at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, Hey, Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans Studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we are going to completely shift gears. We're going to talk about how sleep impacts one's sports performance and, you know, the importance of adequate rest. So we have extended an invitation to Dr. Chris Winter. He is renowned. He is an internationally recognized sleep medicine specialist. He is a neurologist and highly sought-after speaker. He works directly with top athletes in the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and even in the NHL. He has just released his new book. It is titled The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. We're all about solving that problem. Good evening, Dr. Winters. It's wonderful to have you on, and I make no apologies. I love to take a nap. I'm all about getting good sleep and adequate rest.
Thank you for having me on. It's really a pleasure, and I'm glad you like napping and sleeping. It's a good thing to like.
Well, I just want to say, you know, I am a former collegiate athlete. I'm a very busy mom, so I do understand truly the importance of rest and how sleep really can affect one's athletic performance. So first of all, let's just give an overview of the book. What was the goal that you want the readers to take away?
I've been involved in sleep for about 25 years. I think it's the most interesting thing in the world. It's the best thing in the world. I would say sleep's probably the third best thing in the world behind sex is number two, bacon's number one, I guess. So it's very important to me. I think it's fascinating and entertaining and funny. And a lot of the books I've read about it in the past, they don't capture the magic and the enthusiasm that should be there. Just like you said, when you talk about how much you love napping, I feel like books kind of leave you a little flat. So I wanted to be scientific, but I want it to be fun and entertaining and easy read, and hopefully I succeeded with that.
Absolutely. I congratulate you on that. It is fun and it is entertaining, but I thought what makes it stand apart from other books on sleep solutions is how you were able to research and work with professional athletes and they sharing their stories, the impacts of rigors, you know, with travel and all the demands that they have and how important it is for them to get adequate rest.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that one of the things that I consider a strength is my ability to convey information about sleep in a way that doesn't feel preachy. And that's really helped me with the athletes I work with. I mean, I feel like with the professional athletes, when I walk in the room, I'm about 5'8.5", 5'9" on a good day. Clearly, I was not a professional or even collegiate athlete. Mm-hmm. So I need to get their information. I need to get my information across to them in a very quick way before they lose interest and sort of tune me out. So I think that kind of experience very much went into writing that book.
Well, you're a neurologist. We talk about you being a sleep specialist, but I'm sure that you could, Dr. Winter, identify with many of the athletes that you have worked with, because being in med school, the rigors, the demands of that in terms of schedule and trying to function on little or no rest.
That's right. That's exactly how I got started with them. When I was right out of residency, I thought, you know, this would be a really cool. It was the year that the Montreal Expos were playing about half their games in Puerto Rico. I thought, wow, they're actually playing Major League Baseball games over a span of 5 time zones for the first time ever. This would be a really cool basis for a study to figure out, you know, does travel affect these guys and the way they play? So we did a 1-year study. Major League Baseball funded us to do a 10-year study. And the San Francisco Giants called soon after that and said, hey, we want to talk to you about some of the things you're figuring out. And word of mouth, the rest is history.
Dr. Chris Winter is with us tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to connect with you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. And you can always go back and listen to this entire interview at our podcast page. And that is podcastarena.com, podcastarena.com. You know, we think about life as a professional athlete. It is really, truly hard to comprehend unless you have experienced it. How does lack of sleep, how does that affect or impact the longevity of one's athletic career?
It's got a tremendous impact. In fact, one of the studies we did was a very simple study. In my book, there is a little test you can take yourself called an Epworth Sleepiness Scale score. And so you answer some questions, and it will tell you how sleepy you are, which sounds like a very easy concept, but a lot of individuals confuse sleepiness and fatigue. So this is truly sleepiness. How driven are you to sleep? So we gave that survey to a whole bunch of professional baseball players. And then 3 years later, we looked back at what had happened in the careers of those Major League Baseball players. and clearly showed that the individuals who were sleepy tended to stay in the league for shorter periods of time than the individuals who were not sleepy or better rested. So I think that the answer to your question is there's a tremendous impact, not only in terms of professional athletes, but anybody listening to this show. If you're somebody who struggles with your sleep, you continue to be exceptionally sleepy, I think you are hurting your health and probably shortening the time you're spending in whatever career you found yourself in.
So what advice did you give to the professional athletes? Because, you know, they're always focusing on training and exercise and, of course, the diet to be able to maximize their ability. But, I mean, do you talk to them about, you know, the importance of something as simple as, you know, carving out time to take that cat nap?
Absolutely. So you've kind of touched upon a very important thing, and that is, I think for a lot of professional sports teams, professional athletes, collegiate athletics, they have focused, and rightfully so, a lot on nutrition, proper eating. You know, these teams now have dietitians and nutritionists that help them with this. Some even travel with their teams. They're very brilliant and smart at what they do. Obviously, the exercise component, they have trainers and medical staff and strength coaches, physiologists, all these individuals looking to try to maximize their ability to get the most out of their bodies. I think it's been relatively recently, however, that people have looked at, wow, you know, these guys come into our training facilities, we poke and prod them, we tell them to do these exercises and eat these smoothies. But then when they leave and go home, we don't really give them any kind of blueprint for their life from the time they leave the training center or leave the arena until when they arrive the next morning. So that's really where a lot of teams are looking at now to try to capture some kind of advantage and help their players, you know, have a plan for what they're going to do when they get in bed at night.
Is sleep as important as nutrition?
I absolutely think it is. Now, obviously, you could probably kill somebody faster by starving them than you can by sleep depriving
right.
them, but both of them will eventually terminate the individual. So I think that it is right up there with nutrition, absolutely.
We are shining the spotlight on Dr. Chris Winter, his brand new book. You got to go out and get a copy of it. It is titled The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken, How to Fix It. And one of the things you do talk about in the book, and I know many folks around the country, I mean, they use this, talk about the dangers of sleeping pills. I've never touched them, but what advice would you give? I would say vital advice would you give to our listeners? And what did you want the reader specifically to know about the proper uses of it? And dangers.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, there are certainly reasons to take a sleeping pill. If you're traveling to New Zealand, you know, kind of a once-in-a-lifetime trip, maybe that would help you in terms of some adjustments. But for individuals who are using these pills on a daily basis, you know, one of the things I try to get athletes to think about is if you go out to lunch with some friends and you don't feel hungry, what do you do with the chicken sandwich you've just ordered? My guess is you would wrap it up, take it home, and think very little of the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't think that way when they get in bed, and for whatever reason, they struggle to fall asleep a little bit. You know, I always try to get these individuals to understand it's not that big of a deal. Sleeplessness does not really exist on a long-term basis. So when people tell me, you know, it's been months since I've slept, that's absolutely not true. In fact, if somebody's telling us, look, I only sleep 2 to 3 hours a night, that might be the case, but you're sleeping 3 or 4 hours somewhere else. Either you're taking naps in the middle of your day or you're falling asleep watching television at night. So there is no such thing as not sleeping. And if people understand that, it really takes the fear out of the situation because it's really fear that drives sleeping pill use. I am scared of not sleeping or what will happen if I don't get sleep right now. And we need to think about that kind of like what we think about that chicken sandwich. Are you scared of skipping your lunch? Most people would say, not really. I'm sure if I skip my lunch, I'll just eat a bigger dinner later on. And that's the way we need to approach our sleep. It's important. We need to set aside time to get it. But when we get in bed tonight at 11 o'clock after watching a little bit of Walking Dead or your favorite sports team, maybe Russ
okay,
will get a triple
yeah.
double soon, then we need to understand that that's kind of part of life, that we don't need to panic and take something to sedate us. Sedation is not sleep. Unfortunately, Michael Jackson taught us that the hard way.
That's right. Neurologist and sleep specialist Dr. Chris Winters will be with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Chris Winter, neurologist and sleep specialist. We're talking about his new book, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Hey, neurologist, sleep specialist, Dr. Chris Winter is with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, we'd love to connect with you. We are interactive. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And as I said earlier, head out to our podcast page. Amazing stuff on there with all of our hosts at our network, podcastarena.com. Now, one of the things I wanted us to talk about, Dr. Winter, while you're on the program, is you emphasize the importance to wake up at the same time every day, even if your bedtime varies. Well, what about if you're a professional athlete and you're hitting the hotel at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? What are you saying? You got to get up at 7? I mean, that doesn't sound logical to me.
No, what I would say is the ideal situation, if you're in that predicament, would be it's probably best to go ahead and wake up at that time, you know, go to the bathroom, maybe grab a little something to eat, walk your dog, and then go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do with individuals who have unusual schedules is try to maintain some kind of semblance of regularity. So it's very difficult to convince somebody to do something like that, and I completely understand it. If I were their age and some 40-year-old doctor was telling me, hey, look, get up at the same time every day no matter what, I would have laughed literally in his or her face. So
sure.
To me, but there is an importance of let's try not to, when you have an unusual night, sleep in until 3 o'clock in the afternoon to make up for it. So really, that if somebody's saying to me, look, I really struggle with my sleep, inconsistency is something that, A, is a huge factor in most people who do that. When I have trouble falling asleep, I sleep in or call in sick to work the next day. If I sleep great, I get up on time and go to work and maybe even go to the gym. Like, you want to eliminate that irregularity if you can.
Neurologist and sleep specialist Dr. Chris Winter with us at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are talking about his new book, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. And I'm a compassionate person. I think about, you know, here at the radio station, what about the guys and the gals that are working the midnight shift? How big of a risk are they for health issues with working, you know, such crazy, such wacky hours in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and speaking, like you said earlier, somebody who went through medical school, it's a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there are shift workers in this country, and there are a lot of them, are at higher risk for a lot of health-related issues, not to mention higher risk of things related to being sleepy, like car accidents, because of their unusual hours. So it is one of those things that kind of goes against what our bodies naturally want to do. So certainly shift work for a short period of time is probably not the worst thing in the world, but for people who are kind of stuck in these jobs that require unusual hours, you know, the average shift worker loses out on about 6 hours of sleep per week compared to the same workers working the same job that's more of a 9-to-5 situation. So if you're a shift worker, you need to make sure, number one, your sleep quality is very good. If you snore or you stop breathing or people think you might have sleep apnea or restless legs or something like that, you need to get that taken care of. And number two, talk to your doctor because there are medications that can lessen the effects of shift work disorder on people. You want to be very careful with that.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Winter, we've talked a lot about professional athletes. But what about, it seems like there is a real trend, a problem in our country with kids and you know, sleep issues with our children. Can you talk about that and speak to that?
There are. We see a lot of children in our clinic. You know, I think that there's the biggest thing for kids right now is just electronics. There's so many distractions, electronics, lights, stressful texts and games and content on the internet. It just wasn't a part of a kid's life, you know, many years ago. So I think it's important for parents to really set expectations, guidelines, rules for these kinds of devices. They shouldn't be in bedrooms with the kids. You know, then obviously, you know, caffeine, dietary issues are problematic for a lot of kids as well, too. And then just our kids are overscheduled. They're playing travel baseball. They get home. They've got 2 hours of homework to do. I mean, I think high school, from my perspective, looking at my kids, is a lot harder now than it was when I was there. So
yeah, that's true.
Making sure we're protecting the sleep of our kids. You know, there's a big push right now to push back the start times of schools because they're so early for the youth in this country. It's at a time that really puts them in peril, and it's not a particularly robust time for them cognitively. Most young people tend to peak around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon just as they're getting off the school bus. So there's, you know, kind of work in place to try to change those things.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time with Dr. Chris Winter. He is a neurologist sleep specialist. The title of his new book is The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. And my advice to you, Chris, is you need a book to release a book for all the new mom and dads out there, because you have the moniker being the sleep whisperer, right?
Ariana called me that.
I love it.
I prefer Chris, or, you know, that's fine. It was very nice of her to say that one time in an article. But no, it's funny that I wrote this book in airports. I tend to travel quite a bit. So mm-hmm. I would sit there, my flight would be delayed, I'd pull my computer out and type around on it. So very, very appreciative to Penguin for publishing that. I am working on a book for young people just because I felt like it deserved its own spin and its own book. So maybe one day in the future that will come out. We'll see.
Uh-huh. And of course, you're talking about Ariana with the Huffington Post. The title of Chris Winter's new book, The Sleep Solution, Why Your Sleep is Broken and How to Fix It. Congratulations. And Dr. Winter, we look forward to another fascinating conversation, okay?
Anytime. It was a real pleasure being on your show.
A very special thank you to all of our amazing guests and lineup. What a fun 2 hours right here at SB Nation Radio. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest and the best, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter @ERadioSports.